we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a small ad from the Aberdeen Press and Journal, read by Neil Sleet.
Glass decanter with man inside. Unusual. £25.
Our thanks to Mike Walsh for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Henning Venn. And opposite them on my left, Susan Kalman and Sue Perkins. Jeremy, why is it one in, one out for the House of Commons?
Oh, we're all on the edge of our seat. Because this show was recorded in 1994, we don't know the result of the Oldham East and Saddleworth and Croydon West and Ipswich peripheral by-election. And there's going to be another election in Barnsley. In Barnsley! Where everyone speaks as though they've got emphysema. In Barnsley! And because your man, Eric Ilsley, has been done for wrongly claiming 14 and a half grand, which isn't that much, is it? But, you know, I mean...
Well, up there it is.
Well, yeah, you could, yeah. He's resigned, which means there'll be another by-election, and it's all kind of meltdown for the Lib Dems. And because they're so unpopular, they're trying to distance themselves from the Tories and constantly saying how they fight tooth and nail before capitulating on all of their principles.
Are we following this election with excitement?
Well, it's going to be surely a Labour whitewash. I mean, you know, the Lib Dems in general have backtracked quicker than a million moonwalking Michael Jackson impersonators.
There's a terrific party in the by-election called the Bus Pass Elvis Party. Did you come across this one? They had all sorts of fabulous things. This guy called David Bishop, he wanted to turn all public schools into pound shops. He wanted to ban burping in pubs. And I think he wanted to save the water vole from extinction, which I think a clearer set of policies than Ed Miliband's come up with so far. What do you make of British politics, Henning? What do you think of it?
Well, they're all giving it a good old go. everyone tries hard. Now, it's a problem here in Britain, is the constant ridicule of politicians, isn't it? The whole thing with MPs' expenses and politicians having to go to prison for 15 grand or 20 grand is just ridiculous. Problem is that politicians are simply underpaid here in Britain, isn't it? That's the main... No, I'm honest, because how much do they get? 64 grand a year for being an MP? I mean, the concept of earning 64 grand a year, that obviously sounds quite strange for the people in the north of England, but so does the concept of work in general. Oh, true story. So, and... Yeah, no, and therefore I think it's a shame in the way that political parties and politicians are being ridiculed here in Britain.
Do you think they're not being paid enough? Politicians are not, in the current economic climate of privation?
For their role, they're definitely not paid enough, no.
They all seems to be occasionally going to London and going...
No, sometimes they go... as well.
Well, I know a lot of comics who earn their living that way, so...
We will have two Labour MPs in jail. Do not smell a sitcom coming on.
If it's less than a year, you can carry on being an MP all the while you're in jail, can't you?
Well, and also, I thought he would find the whole experience a lot more bearable if he just thought of it as a second home. Eric Ilsley is to quit as an MP after pleading guilty to fraudulently claiming £14,500 worth of expenses whilst Oldham East and Saddleworth has elected a new MP. This one-out and one-in way of dealing with MPs suggests the House of Commons is operating a nightclub-style policy. Well, they've already got the unbearable noise and the creepy-looking old men.
And they all have got nice shoes, don't they?
Shoes?
Like brogues.
Brogues? Do you like brogues?
Oh, yeah. Can get in a nightclub with them, can't you? No. I mean, they haven't been for a long time.
I don't think brogues are a big thing among clubbers these days.
No, but it made me and the two Susans sit up. No.
Finally, one can get into a nightclub with a good hiking troop. What's their policy on tweed underwear?
2 points to Jeremy. Henning, why is the clink going to shrink? Now, can I just say, Henning, to help you with this?
Yes.
OK, I wanted to translate it into German for you, so I went onto a website called Babel Fish. Warum der Klink ist, der geht zu schrumpfen. Which then I retranslated it back into English to make sure that Babel Fish had got it right. Why the clink is going to the shrink. So it may be that the question's not entirely clear.
I don't want to brag, but my English is fairly good.
Okay.
But I've got absolutely no idea what you just asked.
I can do it in Danish, if that's helpful to you.
Yeah, well, yeah. We own it.
So... See, the first thing I wrote on my pad was, don't mention the war, was the first thing. So, 2 points to Susan. Why, do you know what clink is, the clink? Do you know what the clink is?
What, Jeremy, what's
prison.
It?
Prison.
Prison. Don't know why I'm helping you. Poland's that way.
No, you're helping. Ken Clark decided to close down 3 prisons, which makes a nice change from the prisoners burning them down. And, yeah, essentially, it's one of them, isn't it, that they're closing those 3 old prisons, and it's always one of the two, isn't it? Same people always saying, yeah, the prisons are too full, and the same people are then saying the sentences are too lenient. So you would think that only one of the two can be true, but...
But if the prisons are so full, the MPs should stop being sent there, I think.
I think the MPs that are going to prison, I think that's probably quite right, but then that wee student boy with the haircut... With the fire extinguisher, he was sentenced over 2 years, which to me seems slightly excessive. The only positive I can take about it is, you know, he's 18, he'll be able to study probably for university exams in prison, avoiding tuition fees. So everyone's a winner.
But apparently they want to frighten young people, that's the idea. No, really, if you truly wanted to frighten young people in this country about expressing their views, you should get Michael Gove to jump out at them in the dark. This boy, when his parents found out what he'd done, they drove him to the nearest police station, but it was shut. So they drove him to the second nearest police station, which was also shut. And he was finally arrested after he rang the police to ask where he should turn himself.
They've really chased down their son's prosecution. They've gone, right, that one's shut, we'll go to the next one. We'll keep on going as we get rid of you for 3 years.
Justice Secretary Ken Clark has announced the closure of 3 prisons, Lancaster Castle, Ashwell Prison and Moreton Hall, with the loss of 800 places.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be staying in a castle, should they?
Well, it's apparently the only remaining prison housed within a medieval castle. Apparently the conditions are terrible, but the gift shop is a delight. So, 2 points to Henning. Susan, who's going to be a complete banker and do it anyway?
I suspect this is the bankers who are going to get their bonuses, ranging from £8 million to £2 million or whatever it is. And despite the Conservatives' absolute cast-iron pledge during the election, they would fight with every inch of their soul against it. They've gone, oh, we can't really do anything about it. So they're going to get their bonuses, and everyone's very upset, obviously. And I don't know the hatred that people feel towards bankers, but I felt something like it. Because I was travelling down to London on the quiet coach and I had some kettle crisps and I have never experienced such anger in my life. I was sucking them to make them soft. I was just having some kettle crisps, crunching them, and I thought I was dead.
You're lucky you didn't burst a cheek with kettle crisps.
I crunched the first one on, oh, it was like meerkat. And I thought, oh, I'll just, they're just being friendly. And I carried on after about 3 of them. Oh, really serious. You know when you can hear a look? You know you can hear it? And I could hear them looking at me. And I thought, right, well, just, I started licking them. I licked them and then I'd put them in my mouth one at a time, kind of sucked them. So it took 4 hours to eat the packet.
I think people I think people specially book to go in the quiet coach just so that they can shout at people who are talking quite softly into a mobile phone. If you say a little word, you know, hello, darling, yeah, can't talk for very long. I'm in the quiet coach. Excuse me! Excuse me, this is the quiet coach! You may not speak into your telephone in the quiet coach! God sees him!
I think it's an excellent analogy. Well, one thing. If everybody in the coach had paid for those kettle chips. And then you sat there eating them with a few people going, do you mind if I have one? And you went, ha-ha, no. Crunched them in front of their broken, sad faces.
Would it help if I told you I stole them out of someone's handbag?
Darling, what kind of coach is this? Is this on a train or do you change horses yes. halfway down?
Horses can't bear the sound of kettle chips. It makes them bolt.
There's two quiet coaches on a train. There's one in first class and there's one in steerage. And
I once got on a train and Clive James was on the coach that I got on. And we know each other, but you didn't want to spend the whole journey talking to each other. So we sat. We nodded and then he went and sat somewhere else. And then at the next station, a gentleman got on fully dressed in camouflage uniform. And Clive took one look at him and went, I hope you're not coming on here to be weird. Despite both parties in the coalition's pledges to curb excessive bank bonuses, it looks like the bankers will be carrying on regardless. The total payout for bonuses among the top five banks looks to be as much as £7 billion, which is worth the same as 350,000 nurses' yearly wage or the Chancellor's inheritance. Barclays chief executive Bob Diamond appeared before a panel of MPs and was asked if he would waive his bonus, and he replied yes, back and forth, right in front of your face. 3 points to Susan. Sue, which Bobby joined the eco lobby?
Ah, yes, this is PC Mark Kennedy, who went undercover to break up an environmental ring who were trying to shut down a coal-fired power station. And he did the training, he knew how to roll roll-ups, he got his hair long, he had a few tattoos, and he immediately ingratiated himself with this lovely group, apparently because he had his own van, and also because he knew how to climb trees, which was... so they immediately fell for him. That's the reason the French, of course, love Mata Hari. She made a great ragu, and she was excellent at shrugging. And they found... I don't know what they found out. I mean, they probably found out, I don't know, who was supplying the patchouli oil, where the hemp soap was. But, you know,
but
basically...
the second one, this one that he showed, this woman... The
Officer A.
Yeah, all the photos I've seen of her face is just a mass of pixels, and I should have thought that would have attracted suspicion at the time.
Can I just say at this point, Sandra, that we have a leak, and actually Jeremy is a mole for quote-unquote. He's been secretly working for that show for years, trying to infiltrate the network of this particular show.
Michael Gove, who's now Secretary of State for Education, once wrote a mental article suggesting that Linda Smith and I were part of a left-wing entrist group into comedy. That the ultra-left had trained up revolutionary cadre to learn comedy skills and infiltrate polite and sideways irreverent satirical programmes on the BBC Home Service in order to bring down the military-industrial complex.
The idea that you were trained for anything.
It's turned into a huge international incident now, though, because he travelled on a fake passport because he was Michael... His name was Michael Kennedy.
Well,
and
his name is Mark Kennedy.
Mark Kennedy.
And he adopted the false name Mark Stone. Brilliant cunning.
No one had known. And he travelled to 22 different countries and became involved in the political activism. It cost him like £250,000 a year to keep this operation going. And he did it for about, 10 years or something. But some of them called him Constable Stone behind his back as a joke. They must be really kicking themselves now.
Well, yeah, and come to think of it, if he travelled to 22 countries, I mean, he must have a terrible carbon footprint. Yeah. Terrible.
You
have to speak up for them agent provocateurs, because so observations like that, they're very, very expensive, and you can't always wait for the terrorist to commit a crime, so sometimes you just have to help it along a bit. Yeah, right. And for example, if we had waited for Saddam to assemble his weapons of mass destruction, we still wouldn't have had a war down there. or in Afghanistan. Yeah, so... sometimes that's all I'm saying. Sometimes you've got to be a bit proactive.
That's certainly a different spin on things. A trial against 6 environmental activists accused of plotting to take over a power station collapsed after a key figure in the planning was revealed to be an undercover police officer. PC Mark Kennedy was apparently seen as useful by other activists as he was good at climbing trees. He was never fully appreciated in the police force because squirrels rarely commit crimes. PC Kennedy was finally unmasked when activists stumbled upon his passport, although suspicions had already been raised by his habit of always saying hello 3 times. At the end end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Henning have got 4 points, but in the lead are Susan and Sue with 5. We start round two with an advisory warning from Real Cinema.
The King's Speech contains strong language in a speech therapy context.
Our thanks to Emma Person from Newark for sending us that.
Jeremy, which auntie was old enough to know better?
I'm 49. Well, now, the BBC has done a bad thing and is very contrite, because what happened was Miriam O'Reilly, who is a popular and liked and personable presenter on a programme called Country File, which is a programme for country files, so people with a morbid obsession with cattle grids. she was presenter on that, and they said, now, the thing is, Miriam, the thing is, the show is now moving, OK, to a much more youth-oriented slot, OK? Now, we're talking 7 p.m. Sunday night. We're slap-bang between Antiques Roadshow and Lark Rise to Candleford. You see where I'm going with it? But the tribunal found in favour of Miriam O'Reilly, but said it wasn't sex discrimination. Well, if so, why is it that ladies are expected to have entirely smooth faces, whereas if you're a man on the television, you can look like the back end of Keith Richards' scrotum after it's been in the bath for too long?
If she was told, apparently, that she would need Botox to cope with the change to high definition, I thought you just needed a new set-top box.
The trouble is, though, your face does change. You peak at about 18 and you spend the next sort of 60 to 70 years just dying. I mean, I'm at the age where, you know, you wake up, you think you've gone blind in one eye and it's just your top lip is folded across your head.
What is the sort of Logan's Run cut-off point for the BBC on presenters? I mean, how old was Miriam when she was asked to disappear?
She's a year older than me.
Yeah, well, we've been saying it's time, Sandy.
I know. Well, it's good. It is good to have younger people here. You can share your perspective with us. You can learn from our wisdom. You can change us if we soil ourselves. It's all good.
Well, I always say it should give the young a chance. Mm. It should retire with grace and not protest.
What? Are you sorry?
Yeah, they always then say, oh, yeah, and then that person got replaced by a younger person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not going to be replaced by an older person.
I don't know. I think David Dimbleby's got his eye on my job, I'm saying. ex-Country File presenter Miriam O'Reilly has won her age discrimination case against the BBC, and she... Sorry, I can't read my script. My wrinkles have fallen into my eyes. The BBC will now be devising a number of shows revolving around the interests of old people, including a panorama investigation into how young doctors are looking these days, an action-packed thriller about the perils of going out without a coat, and a new quiz show called Who Wants to Be a Casual Racist? Two points to Jeremy. Sue, who's broadcasting his goal to move away from the backbench and towards a blackboard?
This is David Miliband, who continues to be MP for South Shields, but now that his leadership challenge has failed, has opted for a raft of potential employments. So they've offered him, Sunderland Football Club, have offered him, I don't know, a position on the left wing, a non-executive directorship, which I think means groundsman. And he'll enjoy that because they don't have grass on his home planet. He also is apparently teaching politics or government to pupils at the school down the road from me in North London, and also, which worries me most, submitting ideas to the BBC. But anyway, he's going to be the busiest man in Britain.
I'd love it if he got a job presenting the snooker, because I don't watch that already.
No, it's funny, isn't it, when they offered him the job at Sunderland, and then... they asked the manager, Steve Bruce, and obviously the manager always has to say something. Yeah? And then he said, yeah, that's a good idea if they would get David Miliband in, because it would give the club a little more street cred. is that David Miliband at the football eye champion? Yeah, that's what they talk like.
That was really spooky. It was like... It was like Alan Shearer was in the room.
I'm just going to put that whole sentence through Babelfish. Say what you like about David Miliband. No, honestly, do, because I can't think of anything.
No, and then they said also, then the announcement, the club's announcement was they want him to focus on international and community work. It's not much other work there, is there?
But he's still an MP. I mean, who knew they had that much time on their hands? I'd have got him over to lag the loft. David Miliband, MP, is said to be ready to start teaching part-time at his old school, as well as sitting on the board of Sunderland Football Club and pursuing a career in broadcasting. David will be helping teach A-level politics, in particular the modules on the death of family loyalty, evil brothers from history, and why everyone on earth called Ed is a moron. At the end of round two, the scores are Jeremy and Henning have got 8 points, but Susan and Sue remain in the lead with 9. Before we start round three, here's a cutting from the Welwyn and Hatfield Times.
The number of burst water pipes tripled last month in Welwyn and Hatfield. A Veolia Water spokesman said, "Our staff pulled out all the stops."
And our thanks to Jenny McCann for sending us that. Henning, which greybeards were chased by Blackbeard? Welke Graubart?
Well, that got to be that Saga cruise.
Yes.
Yeah, the Saga cruise was besieged by pirates. And, it turned out in the end it was all false alarm. It was just a Japanese tourist asking for the Pilates class.
Have you ever been on one of those cruises? Have you ever entertained on one?
I'm almost 40, but not almost 80 yet, so I'll give it another 40 years.
No, I mean to entertain. Have you ever been on one of those?
Oh, they all fall asleep, aren't they? So they don't know what's happening at all there.
50. You can go on a Saga cruise when you're 50, which means I've got 6 months to go.
Now we know what to get you.
Apparently, cruise ships now have precautions to stop pirates boarding. They have razor wire, high-pressure hoses, and something called acoustic sound weapons, which I think is a posh expression for Jane McDonald.
Yeah, you wonder if they had been on board, if they had managed it onto board, what would the Stockholm syndrome have been? So, oh, you're not going out without a scarf? Or flak jacket? And then, I knew Long John Silver.
Have you come about the bins?
I remember when all this was Empire.
I nearly went on one of those cruises once. The judge said it was that or a custodial sentence. A cruise ship packed with Saga holidaymakers was pursued for an hour across the Indian Ocean by Somali pirates. At the time, passengers were enjoying a black tie dinner, followed by a brown trouser event. 2 points to Henning. Susan, who took the law into his own hands?
This is a wonderful story of a gentleman, I think it was Mr. Malik or something. I think
Tahir Malik.
Tahir Malik. And he practiced law for 7 years in America, defended lots and lots and lots of people, but he didn't have a law degree. He learned everything he knew from both being a convicted criminal himself and watching Boston Legal. Now, I think that is absolutely fantastic that somebody... I mean, I love Casualty, right? And I think I could do a tracheotomy, I'll be honest, right? I've seen it, I've got a biro, I could do it for you. He managed for 7 years defending people quite happily until somebody, I think it was a clerk of court, went, "I'm going to be second. I think he's a criminal." And they went, "Do you actually have a law degree?" And he went, "No, I don't have." And but what it fundamentally proves, which is what I've always believed, is that a law degree is essentially worth not a heck of a lot, and you don't actually need one to represent people correctly. It's just all a complete waste of money. But thanks for funding me, Mum and Dad. I had a brilliant time.
For the past 7 years, I've been pretending to be a Cockney.
No one would.
All right, all right. Shut it, you muppet.
It just doesn't sound right, does it? A petty thief in the United States, Tahir Malik, is accused of impersonating a lawyer in more than 50 cases in Cook County, Illinois, using tips he picked up watching TV dramas such as Boston Legal. Boston Legal was a wonderful show in which William Shatner starred as a lawyer and 15 cats played the part of his hair. On one occasion, a judge asked Malik how his client would plead, and he replied, "We'll find out after these messages." Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart said he did everything right except obtain a law degree. Picky. 2 points to Susan. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings. The teams have brought along Mr. Hardy.
This is from the Daily Mirror TV bit. Snooker, the Masters. Hazel Irvine presents coverage of the second best of 11 frames quarterfinal at Wembley Arena, where a full house is expected in this non-ranking tournament. Dennis Taylor and Willie Thorne ate the commentators.
Mr. Ben.
This one's from the Jersey Evening Post. Beginner class for karate self-defence. Men and women only.
Ms. Kelman.
This is from the Loughborough Echo from Louise Hayworth. It just shows how quiet the news was over the Christmas period. This was a headline item. A tea towel placed in a microwave caught fire in Belton Road West Extension, Loughborough, at 2:20 p.m. on December the 21st. Firefighters were called out to the scene of the incident, but the fire was put out before their arrival. 10% fire damage was caused to the tea towel.
Perkins.
This was sent in by Dr. Diana Wetherill from West Yorkshire, and it's taken from the Dewsbury Reporter. It's an advert for Age Concern in Calderdale and Kirklees. It says, "Funeral costs are growing fast. Act now to beat the 30th of November price rise."
Let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Henning have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Susan and Sue with 13. Before we leave you, here is a course listed in the National Trust magazine sent to us by Jane Beale.
An introduction to forest survival skills for Ranulph Fiennes fans. Pick up the skills and knowledge needed to survive in the wild with only the bare necessities. Learn how to build a shelter, light a fire, and forage for food. Bring a hearty lunch.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Henry Benn, Susan Kalman and Sue Perkins. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Neil Smith. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Roderick Crooks and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by James Kettle and Jenny Armstrong. The producer was Victoria Lloyd.